We continue our journey this Lent, our Lenten study, Fearless, the Courage to Question. Today's question is perseverance. So I ask you, have you ever, I mean ever, been done? I mean just done. So I don't know about you saints, but this sinner here often just feels finished, done, forsaken, can't take another step. D-O-N-E, done. I know. If at first you don't succeed, try again. But some days, all the platitudes, all the morals of every story just don't seem to get through. You're depleted, dejected, destroyed, and rejected. Done. And we, like David in the psalm, like Jesus on the cross, cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But has God truly forsaken us? Or perhaps have we forsaken, rejected God in our doing and in our trying? Have we taken matters into our own hands instead of placing our fears and our doubts and our burdens and our questions in the pierced hands of Jesus? Our Lenten material state. The crucifixion shows the worst of humanity and the best of God. In a study of contrasts, that while Jesus could come to save humanity, humanity's response is to destroy him. Tertullian said, the first reaction to truth is hatred. Think of a mirror held to the face of humanity showing its worst traits. Jesus, as truth and pure love, casts a shadow on that. Perhaps people found unbearable. They saw love, but could not fully comprehend it. Our study goes on to say, for many Christians today, the crucifixion is summarized in nice, clean language. God sent Jesus to die for our sins so that we could have everlasting life. So while I believe this is true, it's not the whole story. It's not the complete picture tied up neatly in a bow. Thank you very much. To truly grasp what was accomplished in the crucifixion, our study author again says we must plumb the depths of that statement to comprehend the transformation it signifies. Think of it. God becoming human, living and loving, persevering beyond humanity's angriest flaw. God allowing humanity to hurt God as Jesus was berated and tortured, mocked and made fun of. Jesus dying an excruciating death. That breath, that first breathed life into humanity, stopped. Let me say that again. That breath, that first breathed life into humanity, stopped. This is not the story for the faint. Pure love and light died by our doing. Yet God's love could not be overcome by humanity's rejection, nor will it ever be. And where do we? Where do we continue to reject God? Where do we continue with all our doing and trying, our fighting and our struggling, continue to reject the very pierced hand of Jesus, reaching out to us, loving us, saying, lay it down right here at the cross. When Jesus cried out, questioned God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus did not do so because Jesus lost faith. You see, Jesus, in the midst of his sorrow and pain and rejection, was singing. Psalm 22. You know, the psalm is the songbook of the Bible. And the instructions, right prior to that psalm, the instructions for the musicians stated to the leader, according to the Deer of Dawn, a psalm of David. In other words, you know this one. You know this tune. You know these words. Now sing. This tune and psalm were so familiar to the Jewish people, it would be like singing the first, or just saying the first phrase of Amazing Grace. And we don't have to sing the rest of it to have it fully in our hearts from the very first words. It was a familiar tune, a memorized song. My God, my God. That was only the first verse. My God was not the whole song. You see, in the beginning, David spends his time lamenting, calls himself, and says that other people are making fun of him, calls himself a worm. It just goes on the first couple of verses, but it's not the theme of the song. Victory was the theme of the song. Cynthia beautifully sang that in our Psalter earlier. Victory was the theme of the song, not despair. And Jesus knew the victory that was his already. Jesus knew the victory of the psalm that he claimed for himself. You know, shortly after Katrina, when the Superdome first opened back, they decided on a theme song. U2 and Green Day, yeah, we're cool like that, actually came to our Superdome and opened our first football game after the storm. It's a particular song that it's developed in a particular way. The U2 and Green Day song was "The Saints Are Coming." It starts, "I cried to my daddy on the telephone, how long now? Until the clouds unfold and you come on," the line went. Anyway, it is the theme now, not just that first Sunday, but it's the theme of every football game in the Superdome in New Orleans. So who says you can't pray at the NFL games? You see, the city of New Orleans does this song each and every time at the dome before each game. And this song, "The Saints Are Coming," you see, it's an ancient form of song. It's called a call and response. So that the call is, "I cried to my daddy on the telephone, how long now?" And then it goes on and it says, "The saints are coming." And the call becomes, "I say no how, matter how I've tried, I realize there's no reply." And then God replies, "The saints are coming." It is a modern day, it is a parallel. It was written as a modern day Psalm 22. Yes, a psalm sung before every football game. And you see, this call and response doesn't stop at the first verse. But how many times do we get stuck in the first 18 verses of that Psalm 22? Just like David, we say, poor me. Look how hard I'm trying. Look at all I've done. Look at my sweat, my work, my perseverance hasn't got me anywhere. But then we remember Jesus on the cross. And we remember that Jesus already knew the whole song. It's not our perseverance that we have to worry about. It is God who perseveres. And through God's perseverance, he grants us the gift to persevere. It is Jesus who already has the victory, even in death, even as he sang that psalm, the victory was won. Even as breath and life itself stopped on the cross, all that separated us from God, the veil of the holiest of holies, was torn in two. Even as Jesus declared, it is finished, Jesus knew the whole song. Verses 28 through 31 of the psalm, the end of the psalm, the victorious psalm, says, "For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. To him, indeed, shall all who sleep in the earth bow down. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, and I shall live for him. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that God has done it." When we have tried and tried, when we are just done with this quarantine and this separation, when we think we can't go on, God has done it. When we are rejected and tired, when we are overwhelmed with Zoom meetings and school assignments and trying to be teacher and parent and employee and family and social secretary, just remember, God has done it. Jesus paid it all. The saints are coming, and God has declared that God has already done it. When we reach the end of all we know and all that we can do, when we are done, it can be in that very moment. If we turn to the cross of Jesus, if we remember that it is not up to our perseverance, but totally and completely dependent on the everlasting perseverance of the love of God shown through Jesus. Just like Kathleen said, the loving Father coming and lifting us up, finishing the race together. When we are done, we remember that God has already done it. Claimed the victory not just for this generation, but for the next. And we have hope. And we know that we will rise again. Belmont Heights United Methodist Church, we will rise again. that this will be over, that our time of despair will be no more. Jesus already has the victory. The tomb is already empty. And even as we go through this Holy Week, remembering the loss and the pain and the loneliness and the darkness and the separation, we can rest assured in the promise that we know the whole song and that we know we will, together as a church, rise again. Amen.
Grow weary, for our God will.